Deuteronomy, and we only have two chapters left, two sermons left, this week and next week. And in this last sermon series, we've been talking about who our Lord is. We've been talking about how He is the God who truly saves. He's the one that's been working all throughout time, and He's been working even in your own lives to bring about salvation, so that you may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you may come to know who our awesome God is. Our God is a God who is powerful. Our God is a God who provides. Our God is a God who is victorious. And we've been talking about all these things through our sermon series. But the thing that's awesome, the thing that's just so wonderful, is that our God really is the God who saves us from our own sin, from all the temptations of the evil one. Our God really is the one who saves us so that we can have a relationship with God once again. And when we have that relationship with God, as I was praying, there's every reason to be hopeful. There's every reason to be filled with gladness and joy. And today we're going to continue this sermon series. And the title of today's sermon is, Are You Happy? We're going to be talking about this topic, and I want us to look to God's Word first. And so why don't we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33, and we're going to be looking at verses 26 to 29. If you have your Bible in front of you, it'd be great if you can open it up with me to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Verses 26 to 29. If you grabbed one of these Bibles from the outside, we're looking at page 176. I'm sorry, 177. 177. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 26 to 29. This is reading of God's Word. There is none like God, O Jeshurun, who rides through the heavens to your help, through the skies in His majesty. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And He thrust out the enemy before you and said, Destroy. So Israel lived in safety. Jacob lived alone in a land of grain and wine, whose heavens dropped down dew. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your triumph. Your enemies shall come fawning to you, and you shall tread upon their backs. Amen. I want to ask today, how many of you guys are in a transitional period? Maybe some of you guys are possibly leaving the country soon, or maybe some of you guys have just come into the country, and you're in a time of trying to get used to this place. Maybe some of you guys are about to leave your job and you're thinking about this transition time. Maybe some of you guys are in a new job right now and you're trying to get used to your new job. Maybe some of you are about to get married. Maybe some of you are about to have a baby. Maybe some of you are about to have your third or your fifth baby. Maybe some of you are starting a new career. Whatever it might be, are you in a transitional period now? When a person is in this type of transitional period, sometimes some people are very excited about it. They're looking forward to it. They're really wanting to see what might be around the corner, what might be exciting, what might this new stage of their life bring to them. But for many others that go through a transitional period, it's a time of worry, a time of concern. Maybe there is a bit of fear there because they're not sure what might happen. What about you? When you're going through this type of transitional period, maybe you're not even in a transitional period right now, but maybe you could think back on a time when you were transitioning. Maybe when your children were leaving the home, or when it was time to finally leave your job. Maybe you could think back on a time when you're transitioning. What did you go through? Was it a time of excitement? Or was it a time of fear, uncertainty, of worry, of concern? Some people may be afraid to even go through any kind of transition. So they're afraid to make a decision. There's a lot of fear that exists there. And so when this happens, sometimes people are not even aware of the possible transitions that could take place in their lives. Some people, they're just stuck there in a place where they're without hope, without any understanding that there is a possibility of change out of the situation that they're in. Some people, they're stuck in a place where they're unhappy and they feel like there is no hope for their life. And maybe they kind of want some kind of change, but they just feel like it's nowhere close to their lives. Maybe that transition is right there for them, but they don't feel like they have the strength to grasp that and to move towards that. Where are you right now? Are you in that place of transition, excitement, maybe fear? Or are you in that place maybe where you feel like nothing is changing and you're just stuck there? And you're just in this place of feeling constantly unhappy, unsatisfied. I met a guy recently, and I won't reveal most of the details of what he shared with me, but one thing that he did share with me is that he was unhappy. And actually that he was unhappy and has been unhappy for a long, long time. He's been so unhappy that he just feels like there's no purpose in this life. If a person, I mean, this guy, it's not like his life was a terrible life. It's not like there was a lot of bad things that happened, but he just felt unhappy. And it eventually came to a point where he just felt like there's no purpose in his life. And he just said, if I can just do this one thing, once I accomplish that one thing, I don't have any more reason to live. And so that's going to be it for me. And that's what he shared with me. What about you? As a Christian, if you are a Christian, as a Christian, we hear that maybe we're supposed to be filled with joy. We hear that maybe we're supposed to be happy. And maybe sometimes we feel a little bit of a burden when we don't necessarily feel that joy and we begin to doubt whether or not Christianity is true. And so I'm jumping from one thing to the next because I want to just ask this basic question. Whether you're a Christian or not, are you happy? In today's passage, we've been looking at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a book where Moses is giving his final speech. And they're about to go into the promised land. They've come to right up to the border of the promised land. And they're about to face situations where they're going to have to battle to get into the promised land and to conquer that land for themselves. God had promised that that would be their land. And so we've gone through this whole book of Deuteronomy, and we've been talking about how through the book of Deuteronomy, we're learning about what it means to have a relationship with God. And so Moses talked about all the different laws, all the different commandments because this is how we're supposed to have a relationship with God. And then Moses talked about how there are blessings and curses. And if you obey these laws, then there will be blessings. And if you don't obey these laws, then there will be curses. And finally, we come to the second to last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And what Moses does is he's giving a blessing to the whole people of Israel. He gives this blessing and he says to the people of Israel that you are a blessed people. And he goes through each of the tribes of Israel and he gives a word of blessing. This tribe of Israel, there's this word of blessing. And that tribe of Israel, there's that kind of blessing. And he's wanting to encourage them. It's almost like a pep rally. He's giving these final words of saying, look, this is who you are. You are the people of Israel that belong to God. You guys belong to God. You are the people of God. And because of this, remember who our God is. And be encouraged and strengthened to go and battle. To go into the promised land and battle. And so the verse that I want us to focus on here today is this last verse in our passage, which is, happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your triumph. Your enemies shall come fawning to you and you shall tread upon their backs. You see, the people of Israel were in this time of transition where they were now going into the land. But there are a lot of uncertainties there. And so what Moses says to the people is this. Remember that you belong to a powerful and great God. Remember that you are a people that was saved by the Lord. Remember that there were no trials or hardships that were not conquerable because you belong to the Lord your God. And so be encouraged. Be happy. You are a people that are a happy group of people because you have this wonderful God. And so with this encouragement, go into this land as you transition into this land that is yours. All right, so if you are in a time of transition, or even if you're not, we are called, especially Christians, we are called to be happy through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the main idea for today. Choose happiness through Christ. Choose happiness because you have a Lord that has saved you. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in detail through these three points. Number one, why aren't we happy? Why we are not happy? Number two, why Christians are happy. And it's not to say that non-Christians are never happy. That's not true. But what I'm wanting to say here is that Christians have a long-lasting sense of happiness. And I'll talk about this word happy a little bit more in the sermon. And number three, the road to happiness. This is something that everyone can experience. And so again, choose happiness through Christ. Number one, why we aren't happy. Number two, why Christians are happy. And number three, the road to happiness. All right, so number one, why we aren't happy. I was looking at some news articles, and these news articles pop up every once in a while. And there was a report that came out saying that there's this thing called the World Happiness Report. How many of you guys have heard of this? Okay, some of us have heard of this. There's this thing called the World Happiness Report, and it ranks all the countries in the world, and it ranks them which countries are the happiest to which countries are not the happiest. And I don't know if you guys are able to see these words. I try to work with the font and everything to try to make it more visible. But if it's not visible, I'll just read it for you. Okay, so this is a part, this is a quote from the Time magazine article about how the Nordic countries, so countries like Finland, Sweden, Denmark, one more. Norway, that's what it is. That these countries are in the top 10, and most of these countries are in the top 5 of the happiest countries in the world, right? And this is what it says in Time Magazine. It says, it looks like the answer comes down to why are they the happiest? That's the question. Why are they the happiest? It looks like the answer comes down to neighborly support between citizens and state support programs for those in need. People want to feel secure, and they also benefit from having a community that they can count on. An environment the Scandinavian countries do better than most in creating. All right, let's go to the next slide. This is from Forbes magazine. Forbes magazine says, they said people's trust in each other and confidence in their governments were key factors in this year's rankings. All right. So as we look at these two quotes, they tried to narrow it down to why were these countries the happiest? Now, there's a in the World Happiness Report, there's a criteria that they go through. But these two magazines, they narrowed it down to two main ideas. What were they? The two main ideas are that there is a good relationship between citizens, so people to people, and there is a good relationship between the people and those that are in authority. Right? The government has provided a great program to provide for the people. And so because of these factors, the people in the land, they are on this happiness report. World Happiness Report. Now, I went and read a little bit more to find out what's the real story. What's really going on in these countries? And Finland has been at the top of the list for multiple years. So what's really going on in Finland? Well, I looked it up, and some reports are saying, well, this is just a report that people made based on certain criteria, but it's not necessarily what the people feel in the land. There is a general sense of contentment. There is a general sense that people are okay. But it's not necessarily describing every single person in the country. So you can go and live in one of these countries and still feel dissatisfaction, still feel that things aren't so great. And actually, there's a couple websites that talked about how they had friends or they themselves went and lived in these countries, and they discovered that most people in Finland and in these Nordic countries, they don't really have a passion for anything. They're not really excited about anything. They're just okay. And so those people, and this is a little bit crude, but some of these websites, they talk about how those people that are born in those countries that are really, you know, they originally have a really a passionate heart and they're really wanting to strive for things, those people get really depressed in those countries. And there is also a rate of suicide that exists there. And so some people are trying to explain it in that kind of way. Or they moved out of those countries. Again, these are just different opinions that people have put on the website, on different websites, and they've gone and experienced what life is like there. Here's the point. The point is that everyone in the world are seeking for something that will make them happy. Even if there's such a thing as a World Happiness Report, you can go to that country and you will find people that are still unsatisfied. They're not going to say that they are happy. There is going to be some type of need that still exists in people's hearts where they feel that they want satisfied in some kind of way. And this is the testimony of the Bible. The Bible talks about how originally we were supposed to have a relationship with God. God being the eternal God, God being the one that provides everything that we need. But because of our sin, because we didn't want to have a relationship with God, our relationship with God was separated. Actually, we were the ones that betrayed the relationship. And when that happened, what ended up happening was that we had an emptiness in our hearts, a God-sized emptiness in our hearts, and we're trying to fill that emptiness with all kinds of things, hoping that we will somehow feel satisfied. Another way of describing this idea is the idols of our hearts. All of the things that are on the outside, they are all needs that we have. They are all needs that can be fulfilled through God. But a lot of times what we do is we look for these things in other people, in other things. And we want to be satisfied. For example, I feel like if I can have a little bit more control in my life and be able to control my kids a little bit, especially when they're running around and whining about how they have some pains in their arms and they feel like they have pains at the tip of their hairs. It's not real. I just want to tell them to hurry up and wash up and go to bed, and that pain will go away. If I can just have a little bit of control over my kids, then finally I can feel happy. Or if I can just get that next promotion and feel like I have a little bit more success in my life, then finally I can be happy. And you can fill it in with any of these. What's your sentence like? If only I can what? Then that will make me feel satisfied and happy. What is your answer to this? How would you fill in that sentence? If only I can what? If only I can get enough money to have this much in retirement. If only I can have my children have children so that I can finally be a grandparent. If only I can get married, then I can finally be satisfied and happy. If only people would just leave me alone. What is your answer? How do you fill in that sentence? Why are we not happy? The reason is because whenever we take our eyes off of God, we experience that emptiness in our hearts again. And when we experience that emptiness in our hearts, a lot of times we chase after these other things to fill that emptiness. And when it just does not satisfy, that's when we experience that unhappiness. Remember that there was that guy that I shared with you about that kept feeling this unhappiness? Well, one of the things that he mentioned to me, the thing that he really felt that he wanted, he wasn't able to put two and two together. He wasn't able to see the connection between these two things. But it was really obvious. The thing that he really wanted was to feel needed. He really wanted to feel like he was actually important in this life. That he had a purpose in this life. He wanted to feel like he could accomplish something by helping someone. And it sounds very, very noble. But that was what was driving him. And every experience that he had in his life, I guess he was surrounded by people that didn't really need him. I guess people kept on saying to him, "Oh, it's okay. I don't want to burden you." I guess there are just people around him that said, "You know what? You're great, but I don't need your help." And so he kept feeling this feeling that he was not needed. And he kept feeling dissatisfied. He kept feeling unhappy in his life. So what about you? Are you happy? What is it that you're chasing after? What is it? How are you filling in this sentence? And Christians are called to be happy. Christians are called to actually choose happiness. There are commands in the scripture that say, be joyful always. And so let's talk about this next idea. Why Christians are happy? And if you are a Christian here today and you're not feeling happy, maybe this part of the sermon will help you understand why we're supposed to be happy and why we're able to choose happiness. Well, as we go through this passage a little bit more in detail, I want to describe this idea that's mentioned here in the passage, this word happy, okay? This word happy. This word in some of your Bible versions is actually translated differently. Not all Bible translations translate this Hebrew word happy into happy. You know what the other word is that they use? The other word is blessed, blessed. And so when we say that Christians are happy, what we're saying is that Christians are blessed. And when we say that Christians are blessed, we're saying that Christians are happy. And so let's change that question a little bit. Are you blessed? As a Christian, are you blessed? Well, let's look at what the passage says. And this is a passage that's speaking to the people of Israel. But in a similar way, this passage, because God never changes, the God that was the God of Israel is the same God that is our God. So let's see what the passage says. It says, in the very beginning of chapter 33, it starts off with the blessings. It says, Moses said to the people, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned from Seir upon us. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came from the 10,000s of holy ones with flaming fire at his right hand. Yes, he loved his people. He loved his people. All his holy ones were in his hand. So they followed in your footsteps, in your steps, receiving direction from you. When Moses commanded us a law as a possession for the assembly of Jacob, thus the Lord became king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together. All right, just, I need to step back a little bit and explain a little bit. Are you blessed? What was the God of Israel like to the people of Israel? And what is our God like today? Our God is a God that loves his people. Our God is a God who is king over his people. And the word Jeshurun, if you don't know, and by the way, I didn't know, so don't worry. Jeshurun is supposed to be like a pet name for the people of Israel. They're still trying to, the scholars are trying to figure out what this word, what the real origins are, but it was used as a pet name. And if you look at the Hebrew word, it kind of sounds similar to the word Israel. If you know Hebrew, you can kind of put two and two together to see how that matches. But that's what the word Jeshurun is. It's a pet name for the word Israel. God is a God of love. God is a God who loves his people. And God is a God who is king over his people. And then it says a lot of blessings to the different tribes of Israel. And then it goes on to our passage today. It says, there is none like our God. There's none like God, O Jeshurun, who rides through the heavens to your help. God is going to go wherever you are. Wherever you are, God is going to be with you. And he's going to come and help you through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. No matter where you are, and no matter when you are in your life, whether you are in a time of rejoicing or whether you are in a time of sadness and sorrow, and when you feel the most alone, God is an eternal God that is with you all throughout time, all throughout your life. He is the eternal God. He is the one where you can find rest. He is your dwelling place. Another way that some passages, some Bible versions translate dwelling place is refuge. He's the place that you can go to and find rest. And his everlasting arms are there to comfort you and to be with you and to uphold you. That's who God is. And he thrust out the enemy before you and said, destroy. He is the one that is bringing victory to your life. Even if you feel like there's an impossible task that's in front of you, he's the one that will bring about victory in your life. Whether you describe it as a victory or not, whether other people look at that situation and describe it as a victory or not, God will indeed bring about a victory in his way in your life. And he calls you to have strength and encouragement and courage, knowing who our God is, knowing that he is behind us, encouraging us and strengthening us. He says, go out with courage. Go out and accomplish the tasks that I have for you. And for the people of Israel was, go and destroy and take hold of the promised land. And for us today is to go out and take hold of this land by sharing his love, sharing about what Jesus Christ has done for us. Go out with courage and live for the Lord your God. Christians, we are called to be happy. Choose happiness because our God is this almighty, awesome God who helps us, who is with us, who is our comfort, who is our refuge, who is constantly there encouraging us and strengthening us for every next step. And it says, so Israel lived in safety. Jacob lived alone. What is this talking about? No matter what may come in our lives, we know that we are always safe in the Lord. But again, this does not necessarily mean that you're not going to face a battle. The Israelites, they still needed to go in and battle. It does not mean that there may be some casualties along the way. We will face casualties. But the idea of being safe means that in our Lord's arms, we will continue to find contentment and peace and joy, knowing that the ultimate outcome of our lives is that we have a God that is there for us. What does it mean that Jacob lived alone? It means that because God provided the victory, that ultimately there will be no more dangers around you. There is no danger around you that will be stronger than your God. All those enemies will be conquered. And so you can finally live with peace. And so again, in our own experiences, in our lives, yes, there will be troubles. Yes, there will be difficulties that we face. But when we turn our eyes toward the Lord, what we find is that there's every reason to be joyful, every reason to have peace in our hearts. And that's why the passage ends, and that's why Moses ends his blessings to the people saying, look, you guys are a blessed people. You guys are a happy people because you are a people that's saved by the Lord. He is the shield of your help. He is the sword of your triumph. Your enemies shall come fawning to you, and you shall tread upon their backs. Remember the Time magazine quote and the Forbes magazine quote and how they summed up the idea of why they thought, why the happiness report reported that these countries were happy? Remember what they kind of summed it up as? They're supposedly happy because of their relationship with other people and their relationship with an authority. And it also went into a little bit more detail saying people are able to feel comfort because there is an authority that provides for them. And people are able to feel safe and secure because people can trust each other. You know, in Taiwan, I cannot necessarily say very clearly about the government. That's up to you to decide. But at the least, we live in a pretty safe place here. We don't have to worry about things being stolen, right? If you leave your backpack or your wallet on the ground somewhere, you'll most likely be able to go back and find it, or at least someone found it for you and gave it to the police. At least we have that here. There's some similarity to the Nordic countries here in Taiwan. But we also do not, we have times where we don't experience happiness, where we don't experience that we are blessed. Why? Because it has to do, deep down in our hearts, it has to do with this emptiness that we feel in terms of our relationship with the ultimate authority, which is God. There is an emptiness that exists. And that emptiness exists because we betrayed our God. But here's the good news. And this is what we call the gospel. This is why we can choose happiness. And this is why Jesus Christ, I give the answer. This is why Christians can say we are happy. It's because of Jesus Christ. How he was willing to come to this earth and die on the cross for our sins, for the way that we betrayed him. Jesus Christ, he was willing to face any struggle. He was willing to not have any of the things that we usually look for. He gave up control. He gave up comfort. He gave up the idea of success. He gave up all these things, respect and rest and accomplishment, even security and this feeling of belonging. He was rejected by his people. He gave up all of these things to save you, so that you can begin to experience all these things in relationship to our God. Christians, what we believe is that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, what he accomplished for us, what we're saying is that what he accomplished is that we are now able to have a relationship with God once again. We're not separated from God any longer. And all of these things that we long for are fulfilled because of Jesus Christ. And so whenever we feel unhappy in our lives, it's because we forget what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we just need to look back to Jesus Christ. We just need to look back to God and remember, we already have all these things that other people look for. We have them because this is who our God is. A God who is our helper. Our God who is an everlasting God, riding through the clouds to come and help us and providing his everlasting arms to uphold us. That's who our God is. And God is continually working in our lives to encourage us and strengthen us to face that next battle. That's what God is doing in our lives. If we just take the time to pause in the busyness of our lives and to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ once again, then we'll be reminded of what all the things that we have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Happy are you, O people of God. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? You know, for those of you that are not believers, I want to ask this question of, where are you today? Where do you find your happiness? Where do you find your comfort? Where do you find your rest? Where do you find a sense of belonging or a sense of success or achievement? You know, I was talking with two different taxi drivers this past week. one taxi driver. As soon as I got in the car, he just started talking with me. And my kids were with me in the car, and after the ride was over, one of my kids said, "That taxi driver talked a lot." But what this taxi driver kept talking about was, you know, I don't believe we need to just have all these conversations about who is right and who is wrong. I don't think we need to have these conversations about which religion is right and which religion is wrong. You know, we live in a wonderful land in Taiwan. We're a land of peace. Everything is great here. And so, you know, we in Taiwan, we're a good people. We respect each other and we don't talk about these things that cause trouble. And he's talking the whole time, telling me that this is how it's supposed to be. And then he says, and I said, you know, what do you believe in? And he just went on and on about Taoism, basically. He talked about how there is this truth, this Tao, right? And that's where all of everything began, and that's where the source of everything is. And he says, but you know, this Tao thing is a really, it's really hard to find. It's this mysterious thing. And so, but we know that that's there. And anyways, we just want to all live in peace because we all come from that Tao. And as I was leaving the taxi, I just said to him, I hope you find that Tao. I didn't have more time. We already arrived at our stop, so I had to just leave. But that's what I said. And this other taxi driver had this whole Buddha setup thing in his car. And I said, hey, what is this whole setup here? And he said, oh, this thing, it's this Buddhism thing, and it's supposed to like bring this aura of peace to this to everything. And I said, oh, so it's supposed to bring you peace while you're driving? And he said, yeah, it's supposed to bring peace. And I said, oh, interesting. So do you really experience that peace? And he said, well, you know, this is a religion, you know. And, you know, everybody in Taiwan has a religion. And, you know, and I said, So you're saying you really experienced this peace? And he goes, you know, this is just a religion. And, you know, like, you know, all religions tell you what you're supposed to do. And so, and I said to him, and by the way, when I said this to him, we arrived at our stop already. I said, I'm a follower of Christ. And I wish we had more time to talk. Because I could tell you about peace. And he said, yeah, maybe fate will bring us together again one day. And I said, I hope so. And I left. I want to ask you, each and every one of you, and whether you're a believer or not, actually, do you experience happiness? It's not just a feeling, but it's this knowledge of knowing. Not just thinking, not just kind of, I think because it's a religion. Not like that. But really knowing that you are blessed, that you are happy. If not, then how can we know? Well, the last point is the road to happiness. How do we discover this? How can we understand this and actually become one of the people that actually experienced this? Well, here's the simple answer. Look to God. Maybe for those of you that aren't a Christian, maybe this can be a prayer that you say to God. Maybe for those of you that are Christians, maybe this is a prayer that you need to say again, and maybe over and over again. And so just as a practice, we've done this maybe two times in the past during this sermon, or this sermon series. But maybe together, just to encourage each other, why don't we read this together, Numbers 1 through 5. And if you are not a Christian, I want to encourage you to really think through these words And perhaps this is something that you yourself will also really come to believe as you say each statement here. But why don't we all read this together? All right? Number one, I admit that I do not feel happy, blessed. Number two, but thank you that according to your grand plan, Jesus, you became the curse for me. Number three, thank you that you died, forgiving my sin, and arose again, defeating death. I am saved. I am blessed. With thankfulness, I want to show my love by following you and obeying you. I hope that for each of you, this really will be your confession. I hope that this really will be what you go over every single day of your life. And I'm talking about not just non-Christians, but for you, Christian, to go through this and to get to number four and say, yes, I am blessed. I choose to believe that I am blessed because of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, I have a relationship with this awesome God. That last part in that confession says, I want to follow you and I want to obey you. And part of that obedience, if we think about Jesus Christ, is not just so that we can experience happiness ourselves. Because the road to happiness, the reason why we were able to experience happiness is because of what Jesus Christ went through. What did he go through? It says in Ephesians 5:2, it says, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What does this mean? The road to happiness is not just so that you yourself can be happy and to feel blessed. But just as Jesus Christ chose not to demand comfort from other things and other people, just as Jesus Christ chose not to demand rest and peace and acceptance and success from the things of this world, and as he looked to the Father and received those things, what he did was he actually gave up those things from the world. He gave it up and he sacrificed these things so that we can have happiness with the Father. In the same way, for each of us, we also want to spread happiness. We also want to spread blessedness. The road to happiness is not just for us, but it's for everyone around us. And the way we do that is also walking the path that Jesus Christ did by being willing to give up comfort and acceptance and success from this world. Willing to give up. If I really want to enjoy a marriage with my wife, I need to be willing to give up this pressure that I give to her to accept me. I need to be willing to give up the pressure that I put on myself and on other people in the church to want to feel success in the church. I want to give that up so that we can actually have a loving and joyful and hopeful relationship with each other in the church. And that's the same way with you in your workplace, with you in your relationships, with people in your family, with other neighbors. We are actually able to spread this blessedness, this happiness, because we find everything that we're looking for through our God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to end with these last questions. What do you tend to believe will make you happy? What have you not believed about God? Remember, everything that's described in our passage today, our God never changes. That's the same God for you. What have you not believed about God? And number three, how may you help to bring happiness to others? The only way this is possible is by choosing happiness through Jesus Christ. Today we're celebrating Thanksgiving Sunday, and I think we might have enough food for everyone. And so I want to invite everyone to come downstairs to the basement to join us for our Thanksgiving festival. But what we're going to do down there is that we're going to have an open mic for anyone to come and share what you're thankful for. And as we think about today's sermon, I hope that that may bring some thoughts to mind and that we would be able to share with each other the ways that we are thankful. Thankful to the Lord. And so why don't we start that process right now and take this time to pray and think about how our God is that awesome God, just as it's described in today's passage. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word, that you do remind us that you are the God who is our help, our comfort, the everlasting God who is with us always. Lord, you are the God who gives us victory and encouragement and strength for every step of our lives. Thank you, dear Lord, that you are such a wonderful God. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made it possible through your own sacrifice for us to have a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that that would encourage us, that that would give us strength to also go forth and spread this happiness, this blessedness to others. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.